Adventure 5 anyway, our story begins. Fluffy, Char's bat familiar, quickly flew along the length of the crevasse before returning with news of a narrow point to the right of the party. Scouting himself, Ulfgar managed to spot a cable strung between two outcroppings, creating a perilous bridge between both sides. Moving closer, the party discussed momentarily before crossing, most of the party flying across or spider climbing along the wall. Ching cartwheeled along the rope. Now the party was presented with another problem. Two cliffs towered over them, their tops hidden in the mist. What was worse was that their sides were slick from the moisture in the air. Decker shrugged, and realizing his spider climb would soon run out, began climbing up the cliff. Ching quickly joined in as well, leaping up through the rushing water with ease. Fluffy scouted about again, grumbling, as he went about being mistreated, before returning with new of this motor positioned at the top of the cliff. Ulfgar turned into a hawk, and flying up quickly confirmed it. A brief debate was held on what to do with the Dismodu, with some party members advocating a quick attack, while others suggested a more diplomatic solution. Realizing that time was running out before Decker and Ching gained the top, Ulfgar flew up and behind the Dismodu, assuming human form again and drawing a line of fire on both of them. The Dismodu seemed unsurprised, and quickly informed him that he was likewise in the sights of the other guards behind him. Decker and Ching arrived at the top of the mountain, followed shortly by Ashram, likewise spider climbing, and for a few moments it looked like combat would break out. But eventually hostilities were lowered and Rick, a Dismodu guard, was called over to escort the group to the Dismodu enclave. As the group walked, he provided a small tour of the area, pointing out the leek the Dismodu obtained much of their meat from, as well as some of their most prosperous fungal farms. The Dismodu city itself was apparently mostly situated around an immense pillar of rock, each dwelling climbing higher and higher up towards the top of the cavern. Entering into the Dismodu marketplace, Rick revealed that another party of above-worlders had recently visited the enclave, and talked to Bonder. Deciding that talking to the other above-worlders took precedent over talking to Bonder, the Dismodu leader, the party told Rick they'd be fine within the marketplace, and that he could return to guard duty. Ashram stepped into a patch of shadows and used Alter Self to alter his form into that of a Dismodu, albeit an unusually short one. Wandering through the marketplace, he quickly spotted the other above-worlders, and moved nearby to overhear them. The other group was four in number and consisted of a female, something, looking almost like a reptilian orc with a large greatsword strapped across her back, an elf male, dressed in long flowing robes, a half-elf female sporting studded leather, and a human male wearing an impressive set of plate mail. Listening in on their conversation for a moment, Ashram realized that him and his other companions were the topic of the day. Apparently news of even more above-worlders had raced ahead of the party, beating them to the marketplace. He listened for a few moments more before leaving and reporting much of his info back to the party, still in Dismodu form of course. Deciding to approach the other party, Melder and the rest walk over and introduce themselves. Both parties introduced themselves, with the human male acting as the other group's spokesperson. He was Rormd, his elven companion was Engram, his half-elven companion was Irina, and his last companion was Delka. She's a little touchy about her parentage, he explained. The groups both quickly hit it off, and it was revealed that Rormd and his friends were here investigating the earthquakes as well. Melder quickly pulled Rormd and the others away from the marketplace and explained the party's current suspicions that the earthquakes were being caused by the Dismodu. Rormd denied the allegations, blaming it on natural volcanic action. Bonder might know more. Deciding they had learned as much as they could from each other, and happy to have finally met another band of good adventurers, Melder and the rest returned to the marketplace and set out for Bonder's residence. Soon they came upon a large crack in the ground, which emitted a faint red glow from its bottom. Roughly 20 feet into the crack, however, was a very small ledge which projected out from a door in the side. Lowering a rope down, the party quickly descended and entered into the shrine to Vesperian. Inside the party met Bonder, an elderly Dismodu who explained much of the history of his race. After exchanging detect evils, Bonder revealed that Rormd and the others had been protected from such screening, a fact which bred distrust in him. Upon learning that the earthquakes had been causing new problems, including the deaths of many people, a fact which Rormd apparently never mentioned to him, Bonder revealed he knew the reason for the earthquakes, and in fact knew how to stop them, although he lacked the ability to do so. Agreeing to show the group to the location of the problem tomorrow, Bonder offered everyone places within the shrine to sleep for the night. Unfortunately, the shrine did not often house so many guests, and the party would have to sleep in different chambers. Splitting up evenly, the party gathered into the two largest rooms inside the shrine. Char, having offered to read books she had found in Cheolmukshar, decided to spend the night with Bonder, to which he voiced no objection. Later that night, Char sat up in bed, disturbing Bonder. Magnarus walked into the room, motioning her to be silent. Shhhh. No noise, Char. When Magnarus reached into his platymail and pulled forth the circle of darkness, throwing it to the ground, Char began to have her doubts. When he pulled his mace and began to swing at her, she was pretty sure something was up. And when Delka, Ingram, and Irina crawled out of the circle of darkness on the ground, Char began to release powerful magic, chain lightning careening about the chamber. Meanwhile, in the party's other two rooms, those on watch suddenly perked up, hearing the obvious sound of thunder inside the shrine. Not a good sign. Awakening the others, the party quickly began streaming into Bonder's chamber, except for Decker and Magnarus who stayed within their rooms to strap on their platymail. At first confusion reigned, with Ulfgar shooting into Bonder, while Ashram wondered how Magnarus, who he had been rooming with, had managed to beat him here, when he had ran out of the room ahead of him, and where Magnarus had been busily putting on his armor at the time anyway. More magical attacks went off, and combat was joined, with Char and Bandar turning invisible quickly. Melder and Horkan quickly followed suit, while Delka and Chin squared off. Irina quickly shed herself of her bow and began inflicting vicious wounds with her rapier. The air rippled, as one of the words of power was uttered, and Chin suddenly froze, unable to move. Realizing that the enemy wizard must be stopped, Gelb tossed a disintegrate at him, destroying him completely. The return volley from Irina quickly forced Gelb to retreat back to Magnarus, demanding healing. Bat Magnarus began to heal many of the wounds inflicted upon his allies, and both he and Delka continued to prove resistant to most magic anyway. At Gelb's urging, Magnarus and Decker decided to forego their armor and rush to the fray, where the party was quickly being shredded. As Horkan began to throw Tanglefoot bags at Delka, she quickly found her mobility limited. Realizing the still immobile Chin was the only one within reach, she quickly moved forward and began to hack at him with her sword, as one might hack at a tree with an axe. One slice, two slices, three, and Chin crumpled to the ground, a bloody mass of flesh. Decker, unarmored except for his shield, was likewise receiving a beating from Irina, who proceeded to quickly slice him to pieces. Dropping to the ground, he began to crawl away, quickly finding shelter underneath the blade barrier Bat Magnarus had summoned. Soon the tide of the battle began to turn, as the greater number of the party began to overcome the opposition. Irina soon fell, leaving only Delka, who had been reduced to using her bow, and Bat Magnarus, who looked to be on the point of death. And then Bat Magnarus uttered a few faint syllables and laid his hands upon himself, and all of the many wounds covering his body suddenly sealed up and faded away. He had healed himself. The party redoubled their efforts, Melder launching dispel magic after dispel magic at Bat Magnarus, feeling his spells crumble away under the onslaught. Suddenly Bat Magnarus began to be affected by magic again, and a quick number of fireballs, ice storms, chain lightnings, combined with the physical attacks of the other party members, finally brought the pair of them down. As Bat Magnarus fell, his features began to melt, turning once again into those of Rormd. For some reason, the other group had attacked Bondar in the middle of the night, with one of them in the form of the party. Their plan had apparently been foiled, but the exact nature of that plan remained unrevealed. Bondar, in thanks for saving him from a pretty serious ass-whipping, gladly offered to identify any of the possessions of the would-be murderers, in order to better aid you. Unless someone objects, we assume a day or two passes for Bondar to work his way through the list.